Hello, and welcome to a Vashon Minute, where we take a moment to focus on one island issue or one island person at a time. Opinions expressed on this show are those of the participants alone and do not reflect the opinions of anyone officially associated with Voice of Vashon. Hi, I'm Susan McCabe, your host for this episode, where we're going to clarify the availability and type of healthcare on Vashon these days, because it's kind of new. To help us unravel that mystery, I am joined by the courageous and articulate superintendent of the Vashon Healthcare District, Tim Johnson. Welcome, Tim.
Hi.
It's really good to have you, and I call you courageous because healthcare on Vashon can be a hot topic, and I'm going to put you on the spot a bit.
That's perfectly okay. Some people's courageous and articulate, other people's stubborn and droning, so I'll try not to be too much of either of those.
Okay. I'd like to start with the definition. The entity known as the Vashon Health District started as the Vashon Hospital District. Why the name change, and are you actually positioned to build a hospital if Vashonians want it?
Well, first, the reason for the name, it's not so much a name change as the name we operate under. Many different hospital districts within this state operate under different names. The statute that creates hospital districts requires you to call yourself officially a hospital district, but doesn't require you to have a hospital. They were just originally founded for hospitals, and now many different organizations, different health districts, hospital districts, do things other than hospitals. And to answer your question, no, we are not in any position to think about or have a hospital now or even in the future. That's not in the cards.
Okay. So we do have the CMAR clinic now, and they have returned health district funding and have moved out on their own. Where will the district's money go now?
Well, that's a big question, and I first wanted to get to the arrangement with CMAR because there have been some questions about that given our reserves and our budgeting. We are quite happy to be working with CMAR. We feel that they... taking the choice to work on their own, while it was difficult at the start for us to figure out what that meant, gave us a lot of opportunity to do other things. We are very happy that they're here. We're supportive of their operations. And while it is in our interest and our obligation to keep reserves available to backstop the situation should they choose or need to leave, we hope they're here for a while. I hope that clarifies people's questions on that.
So what do we risk if they do decide to leave?
Well, if they do decide to leave, we've been through this a number of times. you're left without a primary care provider, and so that's part of our mission, is to have reserves available, for instance, to buy their clinic so that there's an available space for people to work from, and also to put aside some money should we need to subsidize someone to come in and start operations on the island. That's strictly preventive, though. It's an expensive proposition because you want to be able to take care of that. And that's one of the major reasons the hospital district existed in the first place, was to make sure that there were proper primary care facilities on the island. So our responsibility extends beyond CMAR. That doesn't mean it extends around CMAR.
Ah, that's a good way of putting it. Thank you. So, yeah, we now have two primary care facilities, CMAR and Vashon Natural Medicine. We have urgent care from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week from Dispatch Health. We have mobile integrated health just 2 days a week, and it's primarily referrals, not treatment. The Vashon Pharmacy for vaccines and management of chronic conditions by appointment, and emergency care from the fire department 24/7. So where are the gaps the health district is looking to fill?
Well, I think that gets back to your last question of what are we spending the money on? We identified, obviously, the first big gap as urgent care. And actually, that was identified even before there was a health district. In the literature we put out, one of the things we wanted to look at was maintaining primary care as a primary focus, but also looking at gaps, and one of which was after hours and urgent care. So obviously urgent care was our biggest priority, and I'm happy to say we at least have an initial look at urgent care service. It's 7 days a week. It's 11 to 7 on the island with Dispatch Health. That's a fairly big priority of ours. Along with that, we're spending the money, as we talked about, on reserves for capital and operating should we need to take care of primary care obligations, so we don't leave those aside. One of our key components of our strategic planning is to not start new programs and then have to get rid of them to go back and pick up another program, so we can balance our needs with our obligations. The other big pieces we're working on right now are behavioral health needs. That's a huge gap on the island. Behavioral health services. We're starting with children. And right now we have a program together in the school system with neighbor care, health, school clinic, Dove Project, and Youth and Family Services, providing some social worker wrap services, as well as some additional counseling services to children on the island. It's available to all children, not just school district attendees.
I'm surprised to hear you say neighbor care. They're still involved somehow?
Yes. Neighbor care runs the school clinic through a separate grant called Best Starts for Kids from King County. So they provide functionally... I wouldn't call it primary care because they're not open all year round, so they can't be a child's primary care provider, but they do offer a lot of medical services as well as behavioral health services right in a school setting.
Oh, that's really cool, and I didn't know anything about that. Maybe the listeners are in the same boat, although I suspect if they are parents, they're aware of this.
I think most parents are aware, but if they're not, any young person on the island can use those services. They don't have to be attending the schools. They're available for all children on the island.
That's great. So I want to get back to urgent care. I recently spoke with a person who had severe pain, a fever, and apparent jaw infection. He went to CMAR and waited 90 minutes to see if there was a no-show to let him in. There was none. He then called Dispatch Health on the same morning and was told he would be visited by the nurse practitioner the next day between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. He was happy with the treatment he ultimately got the next day, but that response doesn't say urgent to me. What would that person do if his symptoms worsened?
Well, I think, first of all, that's a really great question about the definitions of types of care. A lot of people blur the line between emergency and urgent care. Urgent care is care for a non-life-threatening illness or injury that needs to be seen within the next 24 to 48 hours. It's not for something that needs to be seen right now. If you're feeling like there is potential emergency or life-threatening condition, you should certainly seek emergency care. Call 911. If you're not sure, you should call 911. We always want you to pick the highest level of acuity first that you think it might be, because it's much easier for somebody in emergency services to say, no, that's not an emergency, you can go ahead and go to the urgent care, than the other way around. You obviously want to get the highest level of care quicker.
So an urgent care situation could turn into an emergency and vice versa.
Correct. Yes. With our partners, we've talked to groups like MultiCare, who say somewhere north of 10 to 12% of the patients that come into urgent care walk-in clinics end up going to an emergency room or being transported because people are horrible at self-diagnosing. I know I am.
Yeah, right.
It's not bleeding that much. Seriously, yeah. The issue there is there's always people making the wrong decision. There's also not knowing your symptoms correctly, and there's certainly changes in things. So obviously, emergency services and urgent cares need to work together to escalate or de-escalate patient needs. And yes, it may be that you end up going to emergency care after being seen by an urgent care provider.
Okay, so another example. I'm bleeding from a nasty cut. Do I wait 2 days for Dispatch Health or call 911? And then will the fire department EMTs be able to take care of that without taking me to a hospital?
Also, really good question. If you're bleeding and it's not something you can immediately get stopped, please call 911. The last thing you need to do is bleed to death waiting for someone to come sew you up so you won't bleed right, to death. And yeah. I don't mean to be morbid, but
yeah, right. That,
to put it too finally, yeah. But if it is a relatively minor cut that you're able to stop the bleeding and then you need sutures, you can certainly get that through urgent care. If you're not sure, call the fire department. Number one, they can assess whether or not you're having, you know, an emergency bleed out, and they can treat that on the way to the hospital, or they can put a bandage on it if it's not and tell you it's okay to get sutures somewhere else. They can't currently suture you. You can get those through urgent care, but that's usually done. You can get that at a primary care clinic a lot of times too, depending on who your provider is.
Yeah, so that can be tough. So if I call the fire department, speak of the devil, and they come to me, what is that going to cost me? And what about, and then, okay, so I've called the fire department. They came and told me I need to talk to urgent care. How much am I spending there?
Sure. To my knowledge, the fire department services do not result in a bill to the patient. So if you call the fire department, they are not going to bill you.
Ah.
If they transport you, the emergency room and other services like that might bill you. But the actual fire department's not going to bill you. And as far as I know right now, the mobile integrated health services follow the same rules. They're not billing patients. If you need urgent care and you call Dispatch Health, Dispatch Health will figure out what your insurance is, and you will be billed according to the relationship they have with your insurer, which is usually a copay for an urgent care visit. Unlike a lot of urgent cares, though, they don't bill you for each individual thing they do. They just bill you one visit cost. So if a person were to just pay it out of pocket, it would be $375.
Yay.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
But that covers everything, including, you know, quick labs, medications, supplies, anything that they would do for you in that visit would be covered under that, as opposed to billed separately. If you have an insurance they cover, and they cover most insurers, then you would have the copay for that visit.
Okay, that's bearable. I want the listeners to know that you and the healthcare district have created a fantastic grid that lists all the available healthcare options on the island and when to call them, how to contact them, under what circumstances, and that will be available on your website, correct?
Correct. We've sent it out in a newsletter. And I wanted to clarify, that's not all of the services that are available on Vashon. That is our best attempt right now at the five major categories we have defined of clinical services. And that is, you know, primary care, urgent care, emergency care, and then some of the clinical services that are provided in the mobile integrated health and the pharmacy.
The pharmacy is... Okay, all that sounds really good, and I recommend that people go to the website, which is vashonhealthcare.org, and get that grid and print it out and tape it on your refrigerator. Okay, Tim, thanks for answering the tough questions. Now, I'd like to know what you and the district commissioners are excited about for 2025.
Well, I think what we're most excited about right now is more relief than excitement. We have been... We have gone in the last 2 years from not knowing what we were going to do to defining and refining our vision to developing some priorities and starting to implement those. And we now have product, if you want to use that commercial term, on the ground. And quite frankly, in a lot of cases, we're trying to catch up. We've added some messaging personnel to our district. And we're also just trying to get our systems moving and implement these products and review them and see how well they work. At the same time, we feel really, really grateful that we have an opportunity to look at new products and new services. And we're concentrating this year on what we call vulnerable adults.
Oh, That sounds like another whole topic, but yeah. We're about out of time. This is a Vashon Minute. I've been talking with Tim Johnson, superintendent of the Vashon Health District, and I want to remind our listeners that the five health district commissioners are elected and serve without pay. We Islanders owe these folks a debt of gratitude for monitoring and analyzing and working to flesh out our health care needs. It's not an easy job. Tim, I want to thank you so much for your candor and for your articulate explanations of how to access healthcare here on Vashon Island. And I want to thank you, listener, for joining us on a Vashon Minute. Stay tuned to Voice of Vashon. You never know what's going to come next.